It's the Pocket Show on the British Tech Network. Finally, after 40 minutes of audio confusion, book talk, and geography lessons, we are here to discuss the last 2 weeks in pocket size devices, by which I mean mobile phones. Smartphones and tablets, and I don't know, we may expand this show out to be smartwatches at some point in the future. We have covered them a couple of times, but at the moment we're just dealing with smartphones, or particularly today, and for that I have a incredible panel to chat through these with me. And to start off with is our one of our many semi-regulars, James. How are you this evening?
Hello. Well, I like being described as incredible because that could mean a good thing or a bad thing. It just means unbelievable, but I am here.
It does.
I'm blowing cold.
Is it? Is it cold down by you? It's normally warm.
It's cold down by me, yes, yes. Frost off the car this morning, really? And, you know, yeah. Well, we've got to have something to complain about.
Yeah, we're not getting too much. I've not had to, watch me say this, and then I'm going to have to take a chisel out tomorrow morning, but I've not had to deal with frost in the car. I think maybe once so far, and that was a good month ago. Light jackets is the call of the temperature around me just now. Quite nice, actually. I'm still cycling into work in shorts and t-shirt at the moment, so.
Blimey!
Yeah, it's not too bad at all. We also have Alan Houshall. How are you this evening, sir?
I'm good, thank you.
Fresh from a lovely, was it a week or a weekend away?
4 days away in Iceland.
Oh, very nice, very nice. But apparently not that cold.
No, trade descriptions definitely going to be investigated. No snow except when I was actually standing on top of and snowmobiling on top of a glacier. Mm-hmm. No snow for 4 days and 10 to 14 degrees. So I was wearing a t-shirt and, okay, a ski jacket, but sure. No jumper, no thermals that I'd taken in hand luggage all the way to Iceland.
Should have gone to Luton, mate.
For fear of wandering into the geography show again, did you go up there for like the Northern Lights or anything like that? It was just a weekend away to Iceland.
It was my other. It was Princess Bagel's significant birthday. Yes. So yeah, there was
significant Blue Lagoon birthday. Spa, we're not mentioning the number. Significant.
No, I believe it's all right to call it the 19 plus 21 birthday.
Okay.
But yes, so Northern Lights and snowmobiling and spa day and brewery tour and Viking banquet and there was some other stuff in there.
Very nice. Oh, well. So you're relaxed and ready to go, ready to talk some Windows Phone?
I was till I came into work this morning.
All right, okay. All right, has it been one of those days then?
Yeah.
All right, okay. Well, we will push on with that and hopefully we'll manage to get something make you forget your woes of your day and move on into this. And finally, joining us is Kelly Gamont. How are you this evening, my dear?
Not bad. How about you?
I am pretty good. Pretty good. I'm at the cusp of getting into playoffs in my fantasy NFL league. I need a win tonight. I just need my running back to do well. So it's a good night. And
who's your running back?
Justin Forsett.
So you might be all right.
Quite well for the Ravens tonight, so we'll see. Yes, it's nerve-wracking. I'm one win away from getting the playoffs. Exciting. Anyway,
can you influence that in any way at all?
Absolutely nothing.
Right, just checking.
Fantasy football is almost entirely luck. There is an element of trying to work out who's going to have a good game and things like that.
Well, you can try prayer, I suppose, and...
Well, yeah, I mean, I've tried sending players tweets before when I really need them to do really well.
But is that for on your team or other people's team? No, saying, no, fall over!
No, I sent some abuse to Tom Brady about 10 weeks ago, and he seemed to change his game around. I'm taking complete credit for that.
Brilliant.
I think we've all talked smack to Tom Brady at one point or another.
Sorry?
I think we've all talked smack to Tom Brady at one point or another. I think it's just how it works. It's not, I mean, it's not like you have Odell Beckham on your team, right?
No, I don't. That was incredible last night.
Wasn't that amazing?
Yeah, I know. Even if you're not in the NFL, just Google Odell Beckham Jr. Catch last night or something
and
like that. It is an incredible catch. I mean, it defies a bunch of different things.
It defies description because I got a good look at it. Somebody was showing it on the news this morning and... It's not even that it's a one-handed catch. He's not even using all of his fingers. It was a three-fingered limbo, Neo in the Matrix looking catch.
Yeah. He's bent back like Neo in the Matrix and he manages to catch the ball and then somehow in the air change direction, because he's kind of jumping out the pitch, catches the ball and in air turns himself and does the similar jump almost towards the end zone and gets a touchdown.
Lands in the end zone.
Incredible. Anyway.
Yeah, mind-blowing.
Oh, we've covered all the topics.
It's a sports show.
No, we've covered all the topics tonight.
And who started it? Kelly. Leave it to the girl to turn it into the NFL program.
Anyway, okay, right. We will move on and we'll actually get on to our show tonight at some point. we're going to start off with iOS news. The Financial Times claims that Apple will be adding Beats Music streaming service to every iPhone and iPad at the start of 2015. It also appears to claim that it will be worldwide based on the line hundreds of millions of iPhones and iPads, which obviously is more than is in the United States. Sure. As we know at the moment, iTunes Music is only in the United States. Oh no, sorry, that's a lie. It's in Australia, I believe, as well. iTunes Match is currently worldwide, as far as I'm aware, but hundreds of millions of iPhones and iPads in the Financial Times article certainly suggests it's going to be out with the US. Interesting, the Beats Music is also US only, so that means it will be it potentially could be coming out as well. And it's also suggesting that the Beats brand, certainly on the streaming music service, will be renamed when launched. Having never used Beats Music, but heard quite a bit about it since the acquisition of Beats last year, it seems to be one of the better non-Spotify streaming services. Now, Kelly, as the only resident Yank within us, have you tried the Beats Music service and would you rate it?
I have not, but I'm very familiar with it and I know people who have tried it.
Okay.
And what they enjoyed about it was that the playlists are not automated. One of the things that made Pandora really popular initially was that it had this algorithm and it takes this algorithm and uses that to find similar tracks.
Okay.
So that when you start your radio station, you know, based on whatever you base it on, then it uses an algorithm to find other things that are perhaps a similar beat, or, you know, if it's electronic music, you're using electronic, it finds more electronic music for you, different things like that. So, it's using automation, and, other companies have sort of, they haven't really come out and said one way or another, but they're all using something automated in order to make those picks for you as well.
Sure.
And then, so the thing that made Beats interesting was that on Beats, all those playlists are curated by people. And so it's something where, you know, you're getting what Trent Reznor says are the hottest songs in music right now, or you're getting what DJ Tiesto says are the hottest dance tracks, or, you know, you're getting what Paul Oakenfold says is the number one banger at the club, whatever.
Okay.
You're getting something from actual people who are putting these lists together. And that's one of the things that people who like Beats have said that they really like, is that it feels like you have the coolest mixtape on earth.
Cool, because I was going to say Nokia Music also has people curated playlists as well. They're actually all put together worldwide by a group in Bristol, just across the bridge from me.
All right, okay.
I've been to their offices, and they have a very cool offices with signed guitars on the walls and stuff, and seem to know a hell of a lot about music. But so there's automated stuff, because you can do the, you know, seed three artists and let an auto playlist go off. But all of the playlists that you sort of select in the app are all handmade.
See, I'm a little bit apprehensive about this whole curated playlist thing, because I use Spotify Radio. I wouldn't say mainly, but it's probably about 50-50 against my actual playlists. I quite like that Spotify Radio is really random, and you can end up in some wildly different directions in terms of music. So, for example, I have Rush. I really enjoy Rush, but then also there's another band called Blackberry Smoke that I really quite like, and they are quite wildly different musical tastes. Blackberry Smoke is more kind of, Georgian, sort of, Georgian? No, not Georgian, that's a type of architecture. It's kind of like country music from Georgia. Am I describing that correctly? It's kind of dirty country, if that makes sense. I don't know if I'm describing that well, but and then you got obviously Rush, who everybody knows who Rush is, but then also like a bit of Coldplay as well. Yeah, exactly. And it's all over the place, and I quite like that I actually happened across Blackberry Smoke just because I started off at a Rush track, and just over probably about 2 years of just randomly liking songs on radio, I managed to get to that genre. And I mean, you couldn't find two musical genres further away from each other, with the exception of maybe the Wurzels and Paul Oakenfold or something like that. But apart from that, those two, I really like that. And I don't think I would have ever found this band if Spotify hadn't been quite so random in how it gets you to where you need to be in terms of the playlists and the radio stations and things like that. And what I'm concerned about is curated playlists. I'm going to get what these really important highfalutin people in music think is the bands I will like around Coldplay.
Do you know, I was going to move on to that, but Kelly's laughing too much.
I'm laughing because Trent Reznor is one of the people who has picked those lists, and in all my life, I never thought that Trent Reznor and Highfalutin would ever be in the same paragraph.
Well, let alone the same sentence. The reason unfortunately makes me really quite emotionally cross. This is lowest common denominator hype machine stuff at its greatest. And the whole serendipity of radio, music discovery, social music discovery, the fact that you've got millions of artists who are almost unspottable. I mean, the way YouTube works is it's free access. It's public access. It's an opportunity to be able to share videos. And the cream rises to the top. And often you will find people who aren't well known. Sorry?
And so did Justin Bieber.
And so did Justin Bieber. But Justin Bieber was, don't forget, Justin Bieber was picked up by A&R people from the music industry regardless of whether he was off on YouTube. But this panders entirely to the music industry. What I love about Spotify, and it's the same thing as what Paul was saying, is the utter randomness. There's a website which is, I can't remember what it's, I think it's called Forgotify, which looks on Spotify for songs that have had less than 1,000 plays. They are the types of pieces of music that I'm looking for. There's also a blog which was linked to me by Neil Pierce, a fantastic bloke, and he's a very similar mindset to me. He runs a sort of little radio show as well as I do, and we're always on the lookout for interesting pieces of music. And Spotify is the place to go if you want something interesting, quirky, unusual. As you say, it's some folk music from Georgia. This, I go on to Beats Music, and you've got the bloody Foo Fighters. Dr. Dre's on the front cover. There's nothing wrong with the Foo Fighters, but if you haven't got their album already, you know, it is something that you like them. And it's kind of pandering for the things that people, the safe options. I mean, even Nokia Music has its own kind of, as you say, playlist. It's curated. It's just the fact that this is celebrity endorsed.
Yep.
Celebrity music, celebrity. And I utterly reject it because it's not for me. I would much rather see a band in a local pub just wandering in there, hear somebody play and buy their CD for £2 or £3 at the end of it than to go on this and have my music decided for me by somebody else on my mobile device. Because that's the whole thing. It used to be the case. You would buy a CD or you'd copy a cassette that your mate had given you, and it would be a music curated by your social circle, by recommendations, by stuff that went on the radio. And yes, I understand that pluggers used to go down to radio stations and say, play this record, it's going to be big. But you also get the sort of the late night programs where people focus on more interesting and adventurous music. I mean, there's even some stuff on Radio 3, which is brilliantly challenging and entertaining in its own kind of way. This is the opposite of that. It's sort of focused curation. Now, of course, I haven't heard it, I haven't played with it, and it may be brilliant, but the front cover of it doesn't give me that impression. Now, I might be wrong, and I'm perfectly happy to be told I'm wrong, but I'm not paying for it.
It's curious you bring that up as well, actually. They're looking to, again, according to Recode, there's rumours that they might actually be trying to push for a $5 price, which is not likely to be £3 in the UK, which is the current conversion rate of $5. It's likely to be £5. But given that Spotify is a tenner, that $5 could be quite interesting. However, Brian Chaffin on TMO's Daily Observations, which Kelly, you were on yesterday, I believe, when you were discussing this, and he brought up an interesting point that I hadn't considered. And it was the idea that if you half the price, does that automatically half the value? Now, I know I'm paraphrasing, that's maybe not quite what he was meaning, but...
No, that's basically what he was pointing out, was it's devaluing the music that's on the station. if you're going to make, because if you're paying less, you feel like it's worth less.
Yeah, but I think there's a balancing act. There's a bargain and then there's cheap.
Right.
And you know, if Spotify's $9.99 in the UK. If this came out at £8, I think I probably would still kind of go, yeah, okay, that's probably quite a good deal. If I get, you know, 90% of what I'm currently getting out of Spotify with this, I might actually be interested. It's Apple as well. It keeps in that ecosystem. Everything else I've got is Apple, so it kind of makes sense.
How much is Netflix there?
$5.99, which I can't do that maths in my head quickly, but it's...
Well, I pay $8, so I don't think it's a conversion. Netflix streaming only in the United States is $8 a month.
Right, okay. I think so, I technically pay £8 for to get US Netflix, but that's a whole other thing.
Well, yeah, so regular folks in the UK are paying $5.99, right?
$5.99.
Okay. Yeah. So, you know, when, like, and I don't really subscribe to a lot of stuff on a monthly basis like that. It's basically Netflix. Mm-hmm. Comcast gave me HBO, but that's one that I would pay for, but that's not really the same sort of subscription, but it's the same idea. Mm-hmm. I don't subscribe to other stuff. I'm not an iTunes Match user. Cause I don't stream stuff a lot. I will say this, iTunes Radio itself, not Beats, but the iTunes Radio stuff that they debuted as part of iOS 7 has sucked dramatically less for me now that I've taken the time to.
Damned by faint praise.
I'm actually liking it now, because here's what happened. I started a Pet Shop Boys radio station on iTunes Radio, and you will not mock me for this. It's just not going to happen. I started
the cover of Always in My Mind.
Brilliant.
Yeah, I love it.
And their version of Somewhere is also really, really awesome. Anyway. It's great. And you should check it out. And they still make records and it's very exciting. And I saw them like a year ago on a theater tour. And they were awesome. And they still are making really interesting music. So
they
anyway.
Have the Cures with them.
What?
Steady. They're not.
No, I didn't hear what he said. What did you say, Paul?
I said that they have their carers with them.
You. Oh, that's not okay. Okay. Anyway, so they so I started it, and it initially started out as a radio station. Now, what I wanted was poppy electronic music, pop sounding. Maybe I can sing along to it. Electronic music. That's all I wanted. And it was giving me like every band that wore eyeliner in the 80s. Mm. And I didn't want that. And so I started teaching it like, don't play that song. Don't play that song. Don't ever play that song. And you can go in iTunes itself and you can tweak the likes and the don't likes. So instead of having all these particular songs that you like, you can just add an artist and you can tell it, you know, never play this artist if there's some artist that you don't like. And it was really, it actually has gotten a lot better. And the other thing that iTunes has that I don't know if the other stations have this, you guys will have to tell me. There's like a sort of a hits. There's like three modes on this slider and you can choose between like just the hits and then variety and then discovery. And I think you get like less top 40 mainstream singles the further down the slide that you go. And I don't know if the other ones have that, but I've also noticed that I took mine off just the hits and sent it to variety. And it's giving me interesting stuff that I hadn't heard before. The same kind of thing, like you guys were talking about with Spotify. And I did try Spotify. I did like the free 30 days and I just wasn't finding the thing that worked for me. And it's probably because I am not Spotify's target demo. I too have had a significant birthday last weekend. But I
Happy
play
birthday.
Music on my phone. Thank you. Yeah. I play music on my phone. I plug my phone in my car and I listen to my music on my phone, locally on my phone. I don't stream it from someplace else or anything like that. Now, Mr. Kelly, he's a fan of Pandora. He's got a couple of stations that he's tuned really well. And he is totally happy with that. He plugs in his phone and in his car and plays those, you know, pretty often. He doesn't have a whole lot of music stored on his phone because he just isn't doing that because Pandora works for him. So it depends kind of who you are. And I don't know that I'm necessarily the best person for it. And, you know, maybe it's only that the human curated playlists on Beats start that way. And then maybe you do get to go off on a crazy tangent, like one that leads you from Rush to country music. Mm. I don't know.
Yeah, I think James summed up best. It's that serendipity that I am. That I think mm-hmm. this would lose, and if they don't, and they're going to save me £5 a month, then I might consider it. I'm probably at least going to try it when it comes, and assuming it comes to the UK. Because obviously, as we know, iTunes Radio isn't in the UK. Alan, what do you use to deal with your music? Do you use a streaming service, or are you not a music listener?
I'm kind of like Kelly's husband in the, yeah, I'm sort of happy for streaming radio services. Mm-hmm. So the free Nokia Music does me fine. Helen, my other half, she's very, very particular about her music tastes and also has some very unusual music tastes, I'd say, or wide-ranging. She likes sort of instrumental-only movie soundtracks through to symphonic Swedish death metal, I think she was into at one point.
Nice!
You know, if that's not a wide range.
Is that Lordy Swedish started death metal?
She went into deep dark. Sorry, what's the what would you call that region rather than just a single country? Scandinavian?
Yes.
So you mean like ABBA and stuff?
No.
ABBA goes thrash.
She found an ABBA death metal cover band.
There is a heavy metal Bee Gees cover band, if that's any help.
What?
Called Tragedy the Band.
Yeah. I need this in my life. Oh my god.
Yeah, she was a Spotify free user and then sort of ran out of plays and stuff, and we're now paying for Xbox Music for her because obviously with reasonable Microsoft thing, the idea was, well, it works on a Windows phone, works on a laptop, works on the Xboxes.
Sure.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, I do. I will say I play a significant amount of music via AirPlay in my big, in the big speakers, in the home theater stuff that we have downstairs. Mm-hmm.
Is Apple essentially trying to make it so they are the way that Apple product owners get their music? They're saying, right, if you want music, come Beats Music is the way to get music on the Apple ecosystem. Is it a money-making venture for them, or is it a complete... I can't see it being, not certainly not the price, a way to make money for them, not like Netflix. And I was listening to what you were saying earlier, Kelly, and how you were saying you subscribe to Netflix, but it's like comparing apples to oranges, because Netflix will buy a massive budget television series and try to make the money off the licensing of it to be able to distribute it to the public. Where music is concerned, it's so much more granular than that because you have a wide range of small amounts of music and essentially you're paying each of the producers fractions of a cent to be able to produce their music. Is it worth Apple doing that? Or is it, what basically my question is it an offering that is going to enrich the ownership of an Apple device, or is it something that Apple is going to try and do to build business? And I can't work out which it is.
Well, remember initially the thing with the whole reason iTunes started selling music was for people to put it on their iPods.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Not the other way around. It was, we're doing this so that people will go, oh, I could buy music in iTunes and then I could put it on my iPod.
It was the only way you could put stuff on your iPod, wasn't it?
Initially it was the only way. Well, you had to use iTunes. You didn't have to buy it from iTunes, but you did have to use iTunes to put it there. And then they launched the iTunes Music Store, and the whole point of it was now that you've got this device with all this room on it, you could put 1,000 songs on here. Isn't that adorable? 1,000 songs. And I've got that on my iPhone now, and three Star Wars movies, and I only have a 32 gig phone, and I have like 3,000 pictures, and still tons of apps, and I've got space left. Anyway, because I'm not a nerd carrying around the specialized editions of the Star Wars movies in my pocket.
All the time, just in case you might want to watch them all of a sudden.
You know, it happened. I carry them around on all my stuff. I got the iPod Video, and when I got the iPod Video, the first thing I put on it was not music; it was the Star Wars trilogy.
Well, and it's for you to watch, not for someone to show you. For you to show someone, watch this.
Right, it's for me. Sometimes when I'm on the bus, I would just listen to half an hour of The Empire Strikes Back because why not? Now I can. I live in the future, and the future is amazing. So,
no, I acknowledge that.
So I think part of it is it's the same thing with apps. Now that you have an iPhone, we're going to give you bonuses to put on it. And, if people are making awesome enough stuff for the iPhone, then that could be something that sways someone toward getting one of those over a Windows phone or an Android device is, oh, but, you know, I know this isn't true, but, oh, well, I can't play Angry Birds if I don't have one of those other ones, so I better get an iPhone. Mm-hmm. Like, there are people, not necessarily over Angry Birds, but there are people who I'm sure have made that decision based on, I know that I'm going to be able to get whatever app I want for my iPhone, and I can't say that about a Windows phone, about an Android, whatever the Android device is. I can't say for certain that the thing that I really like on my phone is also available over there, so I'm going to get another iPhone, or, you know, I'm making my move into the market. Everyone I know has an iPhone, so I better get one of those, because otherwise I can't do all this other cool stuff, you know, because the system that I'm in, you know, my circle of friends is all Apple people, that kind of thing.
Apologies, an advert just appears to have started on an article, and I can't see where it is. Sorry. Okay.
Well, and that, as you say, that basically is the. So basically, that is it is the former, it is the ecosystem rather than the money making scheme.
Found it.
Right, and remember, Apple has all these deals already for selling the music, so it's really not. It's not necessarily a question of negotiating all over again, because they already have the rights to all of this.
They've
it's
come a matter on a of long adjusting, journey, haven't they? Yeah.
Yes, and it's a matter of adjusting the agreement they already have. What I wish would happen, you know, if I ran the zoo, here's what I'd do, is I would get the music people. If I would get the music people, all the people who are running the record labels right now, to go sit and have a heart-to-heart conversation with all the guys that run the movie studio. Because you know those offices are all down the hall. Sony Music and Sony Pictures, you know, they're probably pretty close to the same place. I'll bet those guys golf together once in a while. I really want the music people to say, listen, movie people, we came out on the other side of Napster and survived. And here's how we did it. We finally had to admit people wanted to buy music. They wanted to buy it a song at a time, and they wanted to buy it for a dollar. And I would rather get $10 out of somebody than have them go pirate the music for free, and then I don't get any money. So if you want to make any money, then you'd better stop doing things like putting a Blu-ray advertisement at the beginning of a Blu-ray disc, because I already know what I'm not missing because I bought it on Blu-ray in the first place. Sorry.
I think another
this
thing
is a thing that I wish would happen is they need to tell the movie people, this is how you survive. Make it easier for me to buy it than to steal it.
Unfortunately, it's not going to happen. The reason it's not going to happen is because they are doing this begrudgingly. The music industry isn't going, wow, there's a bright future ahead. They're going to go, they're going to nick it. If we don't make it cheap, they're going to nick it. And they're not going to talk to the movie people because, well, frankly, movie people don't pay enough for the music anyway.
Well, this is true.
Yeah.
But they're all the same companies, and I just really wish that it was going... I wish it was a thing that could shift.
I wish they would go away. I'd much rather watch a small art house movie than watch a big blockbuster movie. And I'd watch rather, like I said, listen to a pub band than listen to the latest one by, what's that dreadful woman, Katy Perry, or whatever it's called. Is Kim Kardashian making music? Oh, probably is.
Probably.
Sorry, have I said something bad, Kelly? About Katy Perry.
Katy Perry's not so bad. She's absolutely
a lot worse she could target,
pre-packaged pop from top to bottom. Make no mistake.
Yeah.
For good or ill.
Can I do Nicki Minaj instead then?
Yeah, yeah.
Because
she just shouts and wobbles her bottom about. That's all I've pretty much noticed. Am I suddenly old? Look,
you
I turned 40.
No,
I turned 43 on Friday. And I still want to know how to get my gramophone records onto my iPod Touch.
Let me see if I can help you with that, darling.
Thank you.
To sum that up then, if it's done well, and if we get a little bit of reassurance with the price as well, we will see how this kind of goes. But it's got potential to actually do something quite interesting, but we'll wait and see. Yep. We'll wait and see.
I think it'll be cool. I think it does absolutely have the potential to be cool. I want it to be.
I don't like cool stuff.
So.
You cool kids, get off my lawn.
Do you need a sweater and your slippers to go and tell those kids to get off your lawn?
I've already got my slippers on. That's just too much information, isn't it? It's cold!
I have my slippers on.
Are we keeping you up past your nap time, sweetie?
Do you know what Horlicks is?
No.
Right.
Well, that sounds bad, actually, if you don't know what Horlicks is.
Sip my Horlicks.
Malty hot chocolate.
Yes.
Is it really? It's hot, that yeah. sounds awesome.
Saying sip my malty hot chocolate doesn't sound any better, to be fair.
No, it does not. No, I meant the idea of malted hot chocolate. That sounds pretty awesome. I'd be into that. But I mean,
well, you have
while,
to be
yes,
elderly
I've had a significant
to have
birthday,
it.
I am also still partial to turning up Green Day until my rearview mirror rattles.
Yeah, I also think, so, despite the fact you've had a significant birthday, you're probably younger than the three of us. So.
I like a Skrillex, and once I find out what one is, I'm going to get myself one.
Anyway. The Android Nexus 6 came out last week. By all accounts, prior to the launch, it looked like it was actually going to be a really decent phone. It was all going to come out with the Lollipop.
Yeah.
The new Lollipop, which is Android version 5. It coming out with a new processor. It looked as if it was going to be absolutely superb. And then stuff happened. Bad stuff.
Nobody could get it out of the box.
What? All I heard about it was, oh my God, it's going to be amazing. And I got Lollipop on my Nexus 7. Mm. And it seems kind of neat. And so what happened?
About Lollipop, it's more about the delivery. The Nexus 6 models, they've had all sorts of problems, particularly around AT&T. It seems like the firmware that was popped on it by AT&T, which frankly is a little questionable. I just like the idea that you should have custom carrier firmware. But anyway, this is a Droid Life report. Quote, AT&T stores are being asked to send back initial shipments of the Nexus 6 due to a software bug that Motorola has identified, according to multiple sources. The bug renders a black screen and fails to connect to service when the device is powered on, essentially leaving the device useless. Seems to only be in the initial batch, and as I say, from all accounts, it's on AT&T only. Apparently, all phones currently should actually be okay. Oh, for goodness sake, would you stop playing adverts, this blooming website? I'm just going to have to close that. Anyway.
So I just want to ask a little bit, because I haven't heard any of this stuff about the Nexus 6 tragedy, and the reason this is interesting, what day was it actually released?
Oh, I knew you were going to ask me that. It's not in the UK yet, and I'm just trying to find the US date.
Was it last week?
It was last week. It was only in the last week. It was within the last week, I believe.
Okay, so it hasn't been for a week.
No. It's Thursday, Friday last week, off the top of my head. I'm just trying to find an exact US release date as we speak.
Well, that's fine, because what I was looking for was, I have not seen the...
November 13th.
Okay, so just over a week ago. Yeah. I have not seen the clearly Google is doomed over this. Obviously it's the end of the world. Nobody's ever going to buy another Android phone ever. I'm not hearing any of this the way I heard about some of the initial launch hiccups with the iPhone 6, where giant Americans were sitting on their $700 phones and bending them. And that was apparently a tragedy.
It made the daily news, didn't it, when it did the radio news. This, it looks like, and I say this is the first I've heard of it, and it looks like a damp squib. It looks like they've just delivered some crap. And you're absolutely right. Somehow they've managed to keep that low key.
They have.
Well, it's by not being Apple.
And it's AT&T on a phone that, it's kind of Motorola taking more of the flack here than Google are.
Why isn't AT&T catching heat for this?
So AT&T are catching heat as well. Sorry, I should have said.
Okay.
It's more kind of being directed at Motorola and AT&T. It seems to be the Motorola kind of were the cause, whether they were the people that, they obviously were the people that would have put the firmware on AT&T's behalf, but it seems to be both of them kind of catching the flack.
Some of them actually still had KitKat on them.
Yeah. There's some phones coming out with KitKat as well. They're you should be able to upgrade them, because Lollipop's now available. But some, it's obviously earlier versions of it and things like that. It's just crazy.
Well, and this is the exact reason why I've never been comfortable recommending Android to anybody, because in the United States, you're tied to your carrier. So maybe Samsung says Lollipop's good for all of the Galaxy Note, whatever they are. Mm-hmm. And yet AT&T says no, or Verizon says yes, but AT&T says no. So two people who bought the exact same phone at the exact same time, you know, Galaxy S4. That one I know is actually a phone. So you buy a Galaxy S4 on Verizon, maybe you get an update. You buy it on AT&T, maybe you don't. You don't know. AT&T won't tell you. Verizon won't tell you. It's up to them. It is a complete crapshoot. And sometimes those updates are important for security reasons, for stability reasons. If you do not want your phone to brick, you need to install this update, and yet AT&T can't be bothered to release it to anybody, or maybe this time it's Verizon that's the hang up. You never know. And in the United States, we don't have that the way that you guys do in the rest of the world.
Well, I thought the whole point of the Nexus like series was it is pure Google, pure Android. It doesn't have any of this crap on it. I thought that's the whole point of the Nexus stuff. Is that not right?
I did too.
They've sold us a lemon there.
Hypothetically, it is, because they don't have any of the extra kind of bloatware apps and things like that. So they don't come out with you know, all that kind of custom crap that you get on these other devices.
Yes, like
on laptops.
Yeah, exactly. But they do custom firmware. So I guess it's like the update carrier settings you get on iOS as well, I would imagine.
Blimey. But I guess Kelly's right. In the UK, if you were to buy an O2 version of the Nexus 6 and a Vodafone version and a team, you know, an EE version, they would be pretty much identical phones. They just have different SIM settings, I guess, that come down to say, this is how you connect to the internet, this is how you receive text messages, this is the number you've got, now go off and have some fun on the internet.
Potentially some kind of branding on the exterior as well.
Yeah, it's all it's just a question of what home it's phoning, you know, to report usage or whatever, so that your minutes are getting tracked by the right folks, or your data is getting tracked by the right folks, usage. So to me, this right here is the exact problem with mobile carriers in the United States.
Yeah. Mm. Some other reports have come in, supposedly suggesting that, or not supposedly, actually saying that the phones were coming out of the box with scuff marks and scratches on the rear case as well. And they were coming from both the Google Play and AT&T phones. But I think the really interesting thing here, which I never even considered when I was getting this story together earlier on, is the point that you said at the very beginning there, Kelly, that this is a big deal. I mean, coming out with the wrong operating system, you know, imagine if an iPhone 6 had appeared with iOS 7 on it. It would have been an absolute outcry if they'd arrived that you couldn't actually fire them up to begin with. I mean, Bendgate would have been absolutely nothing by comparison, and having scuff marks and scratches. But this is relatively buried. I mean, even if you go onto, if you go to Google News and type in Nexus 6, you get more about the actual launch than you do about these issues. It is very interesting the way that they've buried, I don't mean to imply that Google have buried the lead here.
I think AT&T have probably done it, because they are a very powerful company and they can do that kind of thing.
No, I think it's not. I think it's the information isn't out there. I'll bet you this kind of stuff isn't being covered except on Android-specific sites. Yeah. And yet, when 9 people sat on their $700 phones, which is, I'm not even going to get into, but we're going to just say that this is what happened. 9 people returned their phones for being bent. It was on every major network morning news show here, NBC, ABC, CBS, they all covered it. It was in newspapers. It was a joke on late night television programs. It was all over the place. You could not escape somebody making a joke about bending an iPhone.
Yeah, but then again, bending an iPhone. Released. Yeah, bending an iPhone is slightly different to having a slightly crap phone. It's difficult to quantify this is the thing, isn't it?
Google device.
It's a flagship Google device, and I would not be able to imagine the disappointment where you've got this brand new phone that you've saved up for months for, but actually you've just taken out a brand new contract for, which is probably more likely to be the case. You've put your $49 down for. You get it out of the box and it's a bit crap. That's you probably write some angry tweets about it.
It's a brick. There was one point where Paul said they don't function. Yeah. You know, yeah, a brick is different from I'm not as excited about this phone as I was reading all the launch stuff. That's a different story. It's a brick. If I went and got one today and it had KitKat on it, like my Nexus 7 already has Lollipop on it. I mean, it took it like 2 weeks or whatever, but it has Lollipop. So if I go buy something brand new in a store today and it's not running as recent of an operating system as the thing that I bought a year ago, I'm going to be enraged.
But what you're forgetting, Kelly, is, you know, most normal people wouldn't necessarily notice or know if they got the wrong version of Android, whereas normal people who've just spent a lot of money on their flagship iPhone can spot that it's bent. And I'm also wondering whether the tech journalists have, well, the non-tech journalists have avoided this just because there's so many Android devices coming out, they can't work out
they
which are the
to
important ones
it, yeah.
and which aren't. Whereas, you know, the new iPhone gets headlines.
At most,
because
there's two. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I think the press has avoided it because it's probably too complicated to explain to their non-technical audience. And, yeah, it's a software problem. Hardware problems are much more juicy because you can show a bent iPhone and stuff, whereas showing a phone with the screen off.
Well, and but so are software problems if you're Apple.
Yeah, I think it's about hitting the big guys more
because
than
nobody nobody seems to remember the tragedy last year when iOS 7 was released and everybody lost their minds.
Ah, but you know, Apple Maps was a good one, see, because you know you could show screenshots of you know bridges contorted into destruction, and you know, so that one was okay as a software issue because it was nice and visual, and you could say, look, the Eiffel Tower's bent.
Right, and I totally get that. Apple was, you know, Apple had a rough launch with Maps. I'm not, you know, I was one of the first people in line to make fun of it. You know, I was one of the people that tweeted around that picture that said it was the Apple Maps development team, and it was just a picture of all the characters on Lost.
I didn't see that. That's good.
I liked that one. I thought that
satire.
Was pretty good. So there's, but it's also, I really think the line here is not necessarily an Android line. I think it's an Apple line. Nobody's going to care if Android devices are a bit crap in whatever way that may be. People care for whatever reason. People will click on it if you say Apple in the headline.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah. I think that's what it is. I would argue that it's not about that people won't care if Android devices are crap. I think it's the, it is exactly your second point there, that it's all about the clickbait with Apple. And that whole Bengate thing.
I would also say, though, that the Nexus 6 launch wasn't trumpeted in the same way.
No, it wasn't.
You didn't get your daily break. Because, let's face it, morning television loves to wander up the Apple store and look at those sad shambles of people, and apologies if you are one of them, who will stand outside having been there for 2 days.
For the record, I also stood outside for a store opening. Didn't even buy anything.
But did you get interviewed by the telly?
I didn't, no.
Oh, there you go. You
well, my dad got interviewed with the Scotsman.
Was he out there as well?
Yeah. My dad and my daughter, the three of us, went and queued for the Edinburgh Apple store opening.
That's awesome, though.
Yeah, I mean, you know, but that's the point, though. This and the Nexus 6 didn't have that kind of fanfare, and therefore the press weren't poised to knock them off the perch, so to speak. In some respects. I mean, I'm always ready to knock Motorola off the perch because I don't believe they've made a decent phone since the Razr, but that's just my opinion.
You thought that was a decent phone?
Oh, my wife loves the Razr. Although my dad had one and he couldn't understand why one of the buttons, which was big as big as or bigger than the other, was just an internet button. It just made you go on the internet whether you wanted to or not. Because he's not got good eyes, my dad.
I hated that phone with the white hot intensity of 1,000 suns.
I still got at least two of them in my cupboard because just in case.
No, those batteries will be dead now. They're not going to work.
Now, mine are on AT&T, so maybe that was my problem.
There we go.
CSS Insight in a recent study found that in June 2014, Windows Phone accounted for around 18% of the UK enterprise market compared to the iOS 35%. They go on then to claim that by the end of 2016, Windows Phone will grow to become second most popular enterprise OS. The report went on to claim some other predictions, quote, Sony, LG and Lenovo will start making phones
again.
What
now?
Sorry?
Lenovo.
Sorry. We'll start making Windows phones again in a quest for differentiation from Samsung and the army of Chinese Android device makers. LG and Sony could launch Windows phones.
I have some evidence here. Mm-hmm. My boss has just got himself a work phone, and it's the first time I've ever seen anybody get a Windows phone for work.
I think it's going to happen at my work as well. They have it's all BlackBerries. And when I worked in, I do a lot of contracts in the financial sector as well. It's all BlackBerries there. And all of them are looking to Windows Phone now. So I think there's a huge...
And my work too. Yep. As I say, Lock, Stock and Barrel replacing BlackBerry with Windows Phone. They're going to have three approved handsets. So you'll even have a choice of handsets. And they're going to be saving a lot of money monthly versus what they've been playing to BlackBerry forever. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the interesting one is also Windows Phone hasn't been suitable for business until Windows Phone 8.1 came out and finally added a lot of enterprise specific features like VPN, like secure email support, like more detailed remote management control, mm-hmm. and lots of things like that. So Windows Phone didn't actually have the features and wasn't chasing enterprise until, sort of April this year. So if they're going from a standing start then, and the amount I'm hearing enterprise-wise, I think a lot of admins are suspicious of letting Android and, frankly, getting a bit jaded about iPhones inside business.
Well, we all know how iPhones got into business and ended up with corporate support, right? Yeah. It's because the CEO went and bought an iPhone and then went down to IT and found the one person in IT he recognized and said, make my work email happen here.
Yeah. Yep.
That's what happened. And we all know it. I just want to ask really quickly, you couldn't remote manage a Windows Phone until 8.1? Like, you couldn't, you can't, how do you do it now? Do you do it in SCCM or something?
You could do some, but it didn't have a lot of the key enterprise features. I'd have to dig out the article where they were singing about. But basically, it was, Windows Phone... Windows Phone 7 was completely focused on consumer. Windows Phone 8.0 had a few enterprise nods. 8.1, mm-hmm. which should have really been 8.5, but it needed to match up to Windows desktop numbering because it was such a big release. It could have been Windows 9 if in terms of the amount of under-the-hood feet changes and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Really has now made it a really, really integrated Windows Phone for business and enterprise.
Of course, there's the lower cost as well. And I don't think there's so much of a, like a few years ago, I think you could have comfortably argued this is mince. This is not going to happen. But you're seeing less and less people just kind of gravitating towards Apple. I think there's still that in the corporate space of gravitating towards Apple for tablets and things like that. But I think less so for handsets. And I think Windows is perfectly positioned for it to do this kind of stuff now.
I think the other one is, in some ways, the advantage is, obviously, we had the floodgates open, bring your own device was everywhere, mm-hmm. iPhone and Android led onto corporate networks. Corporate IT suddenly realized they'd lost control of a major portion of their IT estate, which is the worst thing they'd ever want.
Mm-hmm.
And then now, hang on, wait a minute. So we don't really trust iPhones and Android because we haven't been able to manage them.
Yeah.
Windows Phone is coming along and saying, hey, we're going to integrate. We've got Office, so it is a productivity handset, not just for them messing around on Twitter and stuff.
And you've got Dropbox and things like that as well for integration. And realistically, big business needs somewhere to go when BlackBerry disappears. I mean, BlackBerry's going, if not gone. they need somewhere to go. And as you say, mm-hmm. rightly, Apple and Android just don't seem to be those options.
I think in our business, their strategy now is basically, and they did deploy a large portion of the engineering and workforce actually got given iPhones as their corporate device. Mm-hmm. They're all going to be pulled back and swapped for Windows phones.
Yeah.
And BlackBerry was the major communication and normal business phone. I think it really is that one of Yeah, lower cost, more integrated into the estate. You know, the IT firms are thinking and looking at Windows 10, and they're going, right, that's going to be good for our desktop users, and this is a lot of shared code and will be familiar. And then, yeah, in our business, basically anything that isn't a Windows phone will be given the good mobile messaging app. Mm-hmm. That's how they'll get hold of
the ironically named
good mobile messaging app. And that's the only way iPhones and Android will be allowed to get to corporate email, calendar, and contacts is via that.
So do you think this, let's just say for argument's sake that this report is true, and I kind of agree that it probably, these reports are always kind of made up to a degree, obviously, because they don't have crystal balls. But I think there's a fair chance that it is going to grow in the business market. But what do you think that'll do to the personal market? Is it likely that people will use their Windows phone in big business and then go, this is absolutely fantastic, and then they'll go home and buy themselves a Windows phone? Or are they likely to stay with their Android/iOS phone because they already are in the Windows ecosystem with one phone, so they'd like to keep a separate one? I'm quite interested to see how that pans out.
I think there's two ways here. One is Windows Phone could still do with as much exposure and being a phone in people's hands and them learning how to use it as possible. Mm-hmm. So I think it's got to help the personal side to some degree. I guess the other one is whether and if in Windows Phone 10, Microsoft does pull off, a phone that is actually can be work and play segregated enough so that IT doesn't mind you putting, you know, your personal stuff on a different part of the phone. And, you know, most blokes at least would prefer to just have one phone in their pocket.
I think that is there's a hurdle that needs to come out and get over.
I'm really curious how Windows 10 is going to, on the desktop, how that's going to work with the mobile version of the operating system. Because now that we have Yosemite, with Yosemite and iOS 8, some of the handoff and continuity stuff is super cool. And if that's something, and I really think that that's something that Microsoft should really capitalize on, is being able to make the mobile experience and the desktop experience a seamless transition back and forth. With 8.0, they were trying to make it the same, and you can't make it the same. The same sucks. Because if you're doing something good for desktop, it's horrible on mobile. If you're doing something on mobile, it sometimes is horrible on desktop. It's confusing and it sucks. And it was a terrible experience when I tried to do it. And if they can do something with Windows 10, where things like continuity and things like the handoff features and things that we get, where you can sort of switch back and forth, like I'm looking up a particular website on my computer and now I have to leave the office so I can take it with me on my tablet. If they can do something like that, you know, I can pick up this email where I left it on my desktop while I'm out and about on my phone. I think they really do have a huge advantage, because I know we keep hearing about the growth of Apple computers in the enterprise, and that's great. But by and large, most people are still Windows only, and the bring your own device doesn't extend to your desk. It only extends to your pocket. So, you know, if you end up in a place that's very Windows heavy and they can give you a good experience on that Windows phone, then it might be attractive to a lot of people to be able to do their work better on mobile if it's a seamless move between those screens.
Can I ask a stupid question? Sorry, very quickly. Right, if you're on a corporate network and your Mac is plugged into the corporate network and your mobile is plugged into either the personal network or 3G, can you still transfer stuff from one to the other?
Yes, hypothetically,
I think the way the handoff stuff works, I want to say the way it works is a combination of the iCloud account and Bluetooth LE. Yeah. I don't think it's Wi-Fi.
Yeah, I've never tested it. Yeah, that's my understanding as well, Kelly. I've never tested it to say 100%, but yeah. It detects that you're close using Bluetooth, but then uses your iTunes account to transfer the data, I think.
I think that's how it's tracked.
It is the future. I mean, Android have absolutely got no chance at all, have they really? Because they haven't got integration with any platform.
Do you know what? And I think that is a huge shame. because they technically do, the whole infrastructure is there. I use Google Drive. Google Chrome browser. I use Drive heavily. It's pretty much, unless I'm dealing with files that are not spreadsheets, documents, actually only spreadsheets or documents, everything else is in Dropbox. But anything that I can put in Google Drive, I put in there because I can access it everywhere. And exactly where I've left off, I can keep going. I can share documents, you can collaborate in documents. I absolutely love Google Drive. But the mobile interface, even on Android, is horrendous. It's just not intuitive. It's not immediately clear how to do things. Eventually, you kind of, after going, do a long hold. No, that doesn't do anything. Right, double tap. Oh, it's worked. Yeah, that's great. Okay, now how did... maybe I have to... swipe doesn't work. It's not intuitive at all to work out how to use it on a mobile device. Now, if you just want to kind of open up a file and start typing, fire on. It's grand. But I think they are missing the ball really badly. That they're not doing more of this because they've got handoff... In the best way. It's not about even having to know things are close to each other. It's just this document is in the cloud. You edit it, it's there. You pick it up somewhere else, it's done. If you want to edit it with two hands on two separate devices at the same time, fire on, not a problem. But the mobile interface is mince. It's such a shame.
Well, you should see trying to use Google Drive on a Windows phone.
I've never used it on a Windows phone, but it's awful on Android and iOS.
Getting Google Drive up in Internet Explorer on a Windows phone is, it's a bit untidy.
Yeah, and in my current work's corporate network as well, it's IE7, so Google Drive doesn't even work.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, I know. It's awesome. This podcast and all the others on the British Tech Network is brought to you by the absolutely superb people at UK2. And if you're watching the video feed now, I'm about to change the graphic you've been staring at this whole time. We're now going to get a logo of UK2. They are absolutely superb. They provide all the bandwidth and they provide all the bandwidth and everything like that for the British Tech Network. You can go back absolutely years and find all of the shows going back to the very early days of Bagel Tech and everything like that. And the early days of this show as well, those 19 episodes ago. Or if you want to go really further back, you can go back to the grandfather of this show, which was the iOS show. Anyway, the UK2 are absolutely superb. They provide DNS, VPNs, hosting. If you want a website, if you want to build a website, whether it's a tiny little blog to show you, to show off how well your cat jumps when you ask it to, or if you want to start a business, or if you're already a business and you've got hundreds of thousands of customers and everything like that, and you just want something to manage your customer platform, you can put CRMs on there, you can make an actual website on there, you can do everything. It's absolutely superb. If you head on over to the British Tech Network and click on the sponsors link, you will see a whole bunch of voucher codes there for UK2. All you need to do is use the click through on our website and then pop in those voucher codes and you will get money off those services. And those services are superb. I use them personally. I have a lot of chatting with them for the website for British Tech and everything like that. And they are always absolutely superb. And so I would really, 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 really love you to go over to britishtechnetwork.com and click on the sponsors link and go through UK2. Tell them that we sent you and you will get some awesome stuff for them. Oh, what a good show this has been today. I've really enjoyed myself. Right, James, what is your pick this evening, sir?
Well, it's a Windows Phone pick. Hope you don't mind. I know I sort of I have probably done a pick a long time ago on the big show that ES File Explorer. If you don't have it for your Android device, I don't know why. But I guess you're not interested in knowing what is on your device and being able to transfer stuff to cloud services. It's essentially a file explorer, okay, but you can connect to Dropbox, Box. I don't know. I think it possibly even the OneDrive as well. Right. And you can manage your file system. You can search your files. You can copy files up and down, upload and download. And I was desperate to have an equivalent for my Windows Phone, and I found one, and I really, really like it. It's called Cloud. Hang on a minute, I've just closed the document.
Yes, File Explorer File Manager.
That's right. It's called.
It's a snappy title.
Cloud Mesh.
Cloud Mesh. That's right.
All right. Okay.
For Windows Phone.
Oh, sorry. Yes.
And it is beautifully elegant, and I've seen some.
Is the developer related to you?
No, is it?
His name's Bret Hart.
Oh, no relation, but obviously part of the it's part of the family. part of the Hart Empire.
The Hart Foundation, actually.
It's the British Hart Foundation. No, possibly not.
No, that was a wrestling tag team in the
Really? The Hart Foundation. Foundation.
Bret Hart, Thingy Hitman Hart, and James...
Bret the Hitman Hart.
Bret the Hitman Hart, and the Mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart as well.
Jimmy Hart. And that was me. You know, come a long way. It hasn't happened. Anyway...
If I could Photoshop that, that's been the whole time.
That would be the worst. Thanks. One of the great things about Windows Phone is that it is anybody can code for it. It's quite easy to do. In fact, there are even online tutorials and almost web-based products that you can use to design your own app. And some of them look very basic, but this is beautifully elegant. It really works nicely. It tells you exactly what you want to do, what you're doing at any given time. For example, if you're copying a file, have you ever had that thing where you're copying a file and it goes, copying file? You've got no progress bar or anything. You just have this hope that the little scrolling thing that's going around, that it keeps going, and when it gets to the end, you'll know about it. This one, progress, you know, it changes colour of the file from left to right. It is beautifully elegant. It hasn't let me down yet, and I really like it. It's called Cloud Mesh, and I've been able to upload and download stuff from OneDrive, Box, Dropbox, and of course, and it does Google Drive as well, and of course, the local file system. When I first got my 1520, I was actually quite surprised I didn't have access to all the files on the file system, because I'm used to having that on my Android device. Mm-hmm. Now I can with this, and it's brilliant. Really do like it. Cloud Mesh. Alan, do you use a file manager on your phone?
I've played with a few, but I tend to just shove it in as a USB device and then do stuff direct there, or just use the OneDrive. The OneDrive app, because all my stuff tends to be in OneDrive. I was wondering, do you know what the difference is between the free and the paid version?
I think the free version, I think you can only have one cloud service at any given time.
Right.
But the paid version, you can upload it to loads. And I think I use OneDrive for... It's the quick and effective way to get stuff up and down from Dropbox for me, because I use Dropbox heavily for everything at the moment.
You know, I was a bit disappointed. This is a cool app, and I don't mean to take anything away from it at all. And I was that busy trying to remember all the different members of the Hart Foundation that I kind of missed the beginning of what you were telling me. But when I clicked on the link here, what I thought this was, and I thought it was awesome, and I don't think it is this now, is the word mesh suggested that it just took all of the drive space that you have everywhere in this one homogenous blob and just said, you have 23.47 terabytes of data.
Wouldn't that be brilliant? I don't think you'd want to.
Excited by that to begin with.
There is that cloud service that does offer that, and basically gives you... I'm trying to remember, they pinged me again recently telling me that they'd gone and added a new service and I wasn't using all my space. But there is a service that that basically does give you one interface to all your various bits of free cloud storage lets you tell it to just shove it on your space, and it works.
Do you know what
out
that sounds like,
more
Alan?
Space and chucks it.
That
there.
Sounds like an open plan house. I would never want an open plan house, because I go, where am I going to put my sofa? I'm going to put my sofa here by the sink, or I'm going to put it down by the. No, I couldn't cope with that. I like to have everything nicely sectioned, and this cloud mesh thing is perfect for me. Thank you.
Yeah, I do as well. I think as well the other issue would be you'd almost have to raid your your cloud services, because if one of them got taken away, what happens? Yeah. It's like half that family.
Half your files go, yeah, exactly. Don't put all your eggs in one, whatever it is. What's it called, by the way, Alan? So I can, because I'm going to have to try it now.
Yeah, I was just trying to find it again.
It might be on your cloud storage.
Oh, hang on. is it? I think it's Jolly. Yeah, Jolly Cloud.
Oh, they do a flavour of Linux for Netflix.
Splendid name.
Is that the one that I was thinking of? I think it is. New way to manage your storage.
I'm sure Jolly Cloud do a really slimline version of Ubuntu, I think.
Yeah, it is. It's Jolly Cloud, Joli Drive. They are Joli Cloud, but their app is actually called Jolly Drive.
Jolly good.
Oh, cool.
But yeah, it could upset control freaks, but it does let you amalgamate all your
pretty
free
much
bits
summed
of storage.
Me up there quite nicely.
Jolly OS is what I'm thinking of, and it seems to do this. It's part of the whole thing, so you can actually install this OS on your like really old netbook or laptop or something like that, and you can use the Jolly drive as part of your saving mechanism on that. That's quite cool.
Now, what would be really great is all the old hard drives I've taken out of computers from ages and ages ago that have still got stuff on it. If I could stick them in a Jiffy bag, send them to a cloud service and get them to upload for me, that'd be great. Or pay my children to do it. That's probably the easiest thing to do, actually.
Yeah, I pay my children to do my shredding.
Hey. There are services that will let you send a drive and seed your storage with them.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Yeah, I'm with CrashPlan. I think I think Carbonite will also allow you to send them a drive to start seeding your cloud backup.
Yeah.
These aren't particularly good. If there's a crap plan site, that's more like what I want.
Do you want them to actually organise the crap that's on the drive?
No, I don't do that. I don't even want them to look at it. It's just crazy talk.
That way lies madness.
Yep.
Alan, what do you have for us today?
It's an updated app in the Photosynth. Obviously fantastic.
Never used it, but
spherical. Well, as I say, if you click on the link in the show notes, the second link, Paul, I went and put one I did for you. Yeah. I did Athens the other week of a brewery bar, which is an awesome place. And I went and snapped that and stitched that together on my phone in 30 seconds flat sort of thing, while getting strange looks from the customers and the girl behind the bar. The Photosynth app on Windows Phone now has more pixels and better stitching built in. The app is also available on iPhone, but I don't think the latest updates have yet turned up on the iOS app, but I don't know. Okay. It's still a great app even before the update, so I just needed to sing out again.
I remember seeing this years ago, like properly years ago, like comfortably 6 years ago or something like that, 7 years ago, and thinking that just it was magic. It was just made by wizards, Photosynth. It was incredible.
Well, I mean, if you have a look at the stuff that they've got now in tech preview, which you can't yet do direct from your mobile, but you can do by uploading bunches of photos from your desktop machine and stuff. They've just gone and exploded what you can do with it, and you can now do, instead of just spherical 360 degree panning, they can now do paths and sideways.
Big silver light. Microsoft.
It is a bit weird because obviously most parts of Microsoft have killed off Silverlight by now. But
Finally loaded. Now that I've said update later on Silverlight, it's loaded, and that is awesome. And you stitched that all together?
Yeah, well, as I say, I just stood in the middle of the place, and it auto takes the photos as I spun in a circle.
And you have to get everybody to stay perfectly still, because you don't have that weird, you know, in iOS when you do a panorama and like if somebody's walking past you, you get like their nose attached to the back of their head.
luckily, I chose strategically to take a photo of the barmaid first, who was moving around the most. The customers weren't moving too much. Snapped them in the second shot, and then the rest of the place was static bottles. So yeah, luckily I don't think I've managed to get any headless people or half people like you can get if you're not careful with panoramics.
Yeah, I took a panoramic at going back to the Edinburgh Apple store opening, and Ken Ray of iChart magazine had asked me to take some photographs for his magazine, and one of the photographs he's used is I did a panorama of the top floor, and right in the middle there is this really, really, well, what looks like this really thin person with a nose attached to the back of their head and just two legs that seem to attach at the knee just because of how fast they were moving past me. Anyway, that's really cool. I didn't know Photosynth was still a thing, actually. It's one of those things that I heard about years ago, and I think I may have heard about it a couple of times since then, but I didn't know it was still around. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, no, I just I really love taking photosynths when I'm in a place that is a full 360 degrees, and particularly you know, when you're at a height or you want to take in, you know, above and below sort of a panoramic eye line.
Yeah.
It's just great to be able to create a little bubble of memory.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Yeah. Awesome. Kelly, what are you putting in the dock right now for the first time you've ever opened the dock?
Honestly, it's because I forgot it was there, and then I was like, "Oh, that's right! You dropped a link into the thing with the yeah." We should probably get on that. So December 1st is World AIDS Day, mm-hmm. and one of the things that Apple is known for and has been known for some time is working with the Product Red folks, and you can get Product Red iPods, and you can get cases that are Product Red that are a little bit more than what the other cases are. And a portion of that money goes to fighting AIDS in Africa specifically. And they're doing a bunch of stuff right now, sort of in the run-up to World AIDS Day. So this Friday, which is Black Friday in the United States, the day after Thanksgiving here, and the day that Christmas shopping officially begins, because retail was who initially started calling it Black Friday, because mm-hmm. it's not like it's something they look forward to. Because stampeding Americans is really not awesome. Apple is doing a variety of things. One of the things they're doing is if you buy something in an Apple store, they don't have any numbers listed on their site, but if you buy something at an Apple retail location, certain products, you will get a Product Red iTunes gift card. And then, any of those things that you buy automatically, a donation goes to Product Red for those. Everything they sell, a portion of the proceeds from everything sold on World AIDS Day, December 1st, in Apple retail locations, everything, every product, every accessory, every gift card, all of it that happens on December 1st, a portion of those profits are going to go to fighting AIDS with a donation straight to Product Red. Right now, as of today, through December 7th, if you go to the App Store, specifically the iTunes App Store — I haven't dug into the Mac App Store very much to see, but on the iTunes Store, there's a whole section called Apps for Red. And there's Angry Birds has a new level that you can get. Clear has a theme that you can get. DJ is another one that from Algorithm. They've done a Red thing. There's some packs you can buy in. I want to say GarageBand has some new loops that you can buy, and the money for that all goes to Red, Product Red. And my favorite, Monument Valley, has released the final level of the new wave of expansion for it. If anybody played Monument Valley, really enjoyed it.
Awesome.
Like me. You have to update the app. And then after the update, if you've done the eight levels, if you've purchased the previous eight levels and played the previous eight levels, there is now a ninth level that is available for $1. And it is the final level of the game. And so you can buy that from them. I know Angry Birds is doing something. Threes is doing something. Starwalk, I think, is the name of the app. It's one of the astronomy apps. You can get some additional information out of it for that. The Disney Frozen Freefall app has some other stuff in it. There's like 25 of them that are all doing something special that is going to be directly — those profits are going to go directly to the Product Red stuff. And I think it's really awesome. And the reason that it's awesome is because this is a really low effort way to donate to something that is a very serious problem in the rest of the world. Yeah. And it's something that particularly in the United States, I think, doesn't get enough attention. Children who are born HIV positive because their mothers are HIV positive are so common that the African version of Sesame Street has an HIV positive character. That's how common it is.
I didn't appreciate that. I was going to say it's pretty cool, but I don't mean it like that. But it's
it's good that it's something that they're recognizing. Yeah, exactly. It's terrible. It's a thing that needs to be recognized. Yes. So to me, that was the moment to me that I really felt like I needed to take this seriously as something that's happening in the world. And I live in the world, and it's kind of important to me that it suck a little less by the time I'm through with it. So this is a very, 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 very easy way to do something. If you're looking to buy a new computer, if you're buying somebody an Apple TV for Christmas, maybe you want to wait and do that stuff until December 1st, when a chunk of that is going to go to directly to fighting AIDS in Africa. And I think that that's a really awesome thing for Apple to stand up and do. I haven't seen anybody else doing anything like it.
Yeah, no, that's really cool.
I thought it was great, especially because everybody in the United States, particularly this week, because everything jumps off on Friday, we've had a lot of leaked deals and stuff in the meantime. So everything right now here just sort of feels like everybody's waiting to kind of, you know, hold off until Thursday after dinner for the stampede.
Yep.
So finding out that somebody's coming out and doing something like this, you know, where part of that energy can be used for good, I think is awesome. So
that's really cool. I do wish that you'd done your pick last, because anything I do now is just going to seem a little bit trite in comparison. But I'm gonna do two. One of them is kind of global. The other one is less so. First one is a tool called iMazing. It's the I forgot the name of the company that actually makes it now off the top of my head. They sent me a tweet today. Digital DNA. They are awesome people. I love iMazing. I hate iTunes. I absolutely despise it. And the only thing that I was still having to use iTunes for was on occasion kind of doing all the kind of transfers and backups of iPhones. I know you can do wirelessly and stuff, but I don't, as we've discussed in previous shows, I'm a little bit dubious about the cloud and things like that. So I far prefer to plug something in with a cable and see a progress indicator shuffling across the screen to tell me something's
yes.
happened.
Yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely.
iTunes allowed you to do that and give you backups and things like that, but I just hate iTunes. I hate iTunes 12. I hate 11. I don't remember a version of iTunes that I particularly liked. I don't use it for my music anymore, so all I use it for is managing my iDevices.
Then how do you manage your music?
Spotify entirely.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
How much music are we talking about?
I'm quite fickle in terms of music. I don't have like a band that I go back to regularly, maybe Rush or somebody like that. But even then, everything's on Coldplay. Coldplay? Where did that word come from?
Everything's on Coldplay.
The entire Rush back catalog is on Coldplay.
What he means is it is Coldplay. Everything he's got on Spotify is just everything Coldplay has ever recorded ever.
I do have a playlist. I have playlists like a band that I really like. So for example, Coldplay. I do quite like Coldplay. So their entire back catalog is just in a playlist on my Spotify account. And Rush, their entire back catalog is in a playlist on Spotify. And sometimes I just like to hit random on those playlists, and just it surprises me. Sometimes you get a live track, sometimes you don't. Anyway, I don't want to get back into that. But
I'm really curious though, because I too hate iTunes with a passion. Mm. And so I didn't realize that you could actually manage it with Spotify.
Yeah, entirely use Spotify. Oh no, wait a minute! But that is music that lives on Spotify though. That's not my music.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. So I have my music library that I used to have with iTunes, but I hate it so much. And basically, it's just in a lump on my NAS. And at some point, now and again, I will maybe dip back into that and kind of go, I want a couple of those tracks. And you can actually use them in iTunes. In Spotify. You can point it at that library. But no, I don't use any of my local music at all. It's entirely Spotify now.
Okay.
So the only thing I was using iTunes for was managing my iDevices. But I heard about iMazing, and I have to give credit here. It was on Mac Geek Gab, one of the other Mac Observer shows, and they talk about it quite a bit. And so I finally downloaded it and absolutely loved it. It does everything you want it to do. It shows you in a really nice graphical interface everything that's going on your device. You can go in, you can see the apps, you can add and remove everything that you want. You can see your photographs. There's just a big button at the bottom that says backup photos, and it takes all your photos and dumps them a folder somewhere in your local network. You can change where all the backups are done as well, if you change where the backup location is. So by default, the backup location is on your machine, but I actually wanted the backup location to be on my NAS because there's obviously more storage in there and it's fully backed up. So I was able to change the location, and it moved every single one of the backups of all my iDevices onto my NAS. It's a superb piece of software. And the really, really cool thing about this is, and I have to give them credit where credit's due here, I bought iMazing I had it on a trial a couple of weeks ago, but I finally dropped the cash. I mean, it's something like $20 or something like that. It's not a huge amount of cash, but I finally dropped $20 just last weekend there, and then happened to be listening to Mac Geek Gab on the Sunday. and realized they were a sponsor now. So I, being the good digital citizen that I am, and would like to do what would like to think that listeners of my show and the other shows in the British Tech Network do, and I tweeted them and said, listen, I bought the software. I don't want any money back. I'm just want to make you aware that I heard about this on my GeekGab, just to give them the credit for the advertising and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And the people at Digital DNA sent me a refund, and I tweeted them and I said, you don't need to do that. It's not what this was about. It was just telling you that the advertising's working. And they were like, no. It's awesome that you let us know. Here's the money.
Wow.
I thought that was really nice of them. I didn't ask for the money. I didn't want the money. I was completely fine. I mean, it was like $7. It wasn't a huge amount of cash, but it was really nice that they did that. And I thought they make a great product and they're really decent digital citizens. And it's awesome.
Yes.
It's really, really
nice. I'm totally going to buy this because this is one of the iPhone backups at my house are a huge pain point. And so hearing from someone else that this is actually resolving it for you is really awesome, because this is one of the things that causes a lot of rage at the other computer here in the office when Mr. Kelly's trying to back up his phone straight up a wall.
Yeah.
So.
No, I really, really like it. I mean, I've only been using it for a week. I've backed up two phones and I completely emptied my oldest daughter's iPhone because she was selling it. I felt comfortable. I got all the photographs off. I got a full backup of it. I was really happy with it. Really, really cool. The other pick that I've got, the one that I mentioned that was kind of worldwide, is just an incredible thing that you may lose time out of your life with this pick. It's free. It's a Chrome browser plugin. And it's the Google Maps Chrome browser plugin. And basically what it does is if you open a new tab in Chrome, it automatically gives you this beautiful full tab image of just in an area in the world.
Oh, wow.
And in the bottom right-hand corner, it shows you a globe with a little dot to show you exactly where it is on the planet. But it is really, really nice. And I have lost so much time today. I was sitting at work. I just installed this on Friday. And I was sitting at my work today, and my colleague that sits to my left, every time I opened a new tab, the two of us would kind of stop. And we'd both sit and look at this beautiful image on my screen for a good kind of 5-10 seconds. And then we'd get back to what we were doing. And the cool thing is, if you click on the globe down the bottom right-hand corner, you actually go to the exact same view in Google Maps, which allows you to zoom in and zoom out and things like that. It's really, really nice.
Now I know why the Bing homepage only shows you one pretty picture a day. It's because otherwise it would kill your productivity.
Yeah, exactly.
So go on, how do you do it? I can't do it. So I went into the Chrome store.
Yeah. Yeah, so if you go to the Google Chrome store, and if you add Earth View from Google Maps, and you
that's
that,
so going on.
Yep, you will lose time. It's a beautiful way to lose time, the way that it does it. But just open a new tab. So I just got Leusden in the Netherlands, and then you open another new tab, and this time I've got Densh Sabs in Afghanistan, and it's. Yeah, and it's the lovely patterns in the ground. So sometimes it's a cityscape, and it's, you know, the other day I got a view directly above the Arc de Triomphe in Paris.
Oh, that's cool.
And, you know, the way that all the streets kind of come away from that. And it was just beautiful. And then other times you get a view of a desert, and it's just the colours in the desert and the water. And so, it's lovely.
Yeah, you will lose time. Amazing.
But cool. Okay, Grant, couple of little housekeeping things just to finish off while my three learned colleagues disappear into Google Maps for a little while. It's the Bash, the British Tech Network Northern Bash on the 6th of December. That's just under 2 weeks away. It's at Tweed Bank. Tickets are £5. That's just to cover the cost of the hall. We're just all going to get together, have a few drinks. We're going to do a live show from there. We're probably going to play some games. We've got some old consoles, so like SNESes and Master Systems and NESes. We've got an arcade machine coming along. We've also got kind of modern consoles, so we'll be playing a little bit of Mario Kart 8 up on a projector. We'll be playing a little bit of Halo, probably some other games as well while we're there, probably some racing games and things like that too. It's going to be an absolutely awesome day. You have to make your way up to Scotland. That's the only downside. Or down, if you're already in the north of Scotland, or you perhaps live in Iceland. You've got to come down the way. But everybody else probably will come north. Some people might come south and west, but, you know.
Yeah, I have a funny feeling Kelly is north of you.
Is she?
I think, back to the geography show again.
But if you want to come along, please grab a ticket. I believe Ewan is leaving Birmingham at 6 a.m. in the morning. And last time I heard, he still had at least one, possibly two seats in his car, because Will Green's coming along, and Chris Woods, and there's another gentleman, I forget his name off the top of my head, but anyway, I believe Ewan has a couple of seats left in his car, so if you want to give him a shout if you're coming up, that would be great. I'd love to see you there. Also, the Patreon, patreon.com/British Tech Network, please head on over there, check us whatever you can. Anything helps we for us to get together the studio and things like that, so we can start doing video and things like that more regularly. We really appreciate everything that people are sending our way there. The other thing I mentioned is this will be, we're not going to have a show in 2 weeks, mainly because that week happens to be two Christmas nights out that week, one of which is on the Monday night. Who puts a Christmas night out on a Monday night? Insane.
You've got to work the rest of the week.
I know. But I also have another Christmas night out on the Thursday night as well. So anyway, so there won't be a pocket show in 2 weeks. So we'll see you in 4 weeks, which will be the show just before Christmas. That's basically it. The other thing I just say is for all of my or our American listeners, I should say, happy Thanksgiving on Thursday. I hope you have an awesome day. So if you want to get in contact with any of our fine panelists, peoples, how can they get in contact with you, James?
You can get me on Twitter mainly, which is SYZYGY.
Very good. And the Weekendry, of course, as well.
And the Weekendry. Oh, just Weekendry, all the E's.
All right, okay, so not the.
I suppose I could. I'll get a, don't know, nobody nick it. Quick. Oh, too late.
Alan, where can people get a hold of you?
Yeah, look me up on Twitter at Digital Amoeba. They can also, I'll also link off, because I run a little Windows Phone Owners group on Facebook.
Very cool. Very cool. And Kelly, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter and app.net as Verso. You can find me here and there on other shows on the British Tech Network. And you can also find me explaining stuff to people over at macobserver.com. And when I'm not doing any of that stuff or looking for a full-time job, I'm also hosting the after show with Mike Rose.
Yes. And we had Mike Rose in the Mac show. Was it last week or the week before? It was the week before last. I can't remember. Anyway, it was very good. Glad we had him on finally.
Yeah, he's a great guest.
Yes, he is. And of course, Alan and Kelly, you will both be on the big show this week as well, which will be
yes.
The next show on the network. So if you want to join us for the big show, 8 o'clock on Thursday evening, where Kelly and Alan and others, usual ones, Jeff will be there as well. And I believe Righty is making a return on Thursday as well. So that'll be good. So we look forward to seeing you then. And that's basically us. Thank you very much for your ears this evening, ladies and gentlemen. Good night.